The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Raise your Bible up to heaven. Say, me, I love the word of God. Say, this is my Bible. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Say, today, I will be taught the word of God. And I will be blessed. I will be blessed. My heart is open. The eyes of my understanding is enlightened. Today, as I will be taught, I will see who I am in Christ and our line. My life is getting better, for God's word is changing me. Do you want to shout a big amen this morning to that? Hallelujah. Have your seat. God bless you. So how to respond to the word of God? We continue with that this morning. Hallelujah. We've been on this series since the year started. How to respond to God's word. And this is so important. It's so important we are looking at this particular teaching. Like I said, it's a basic Christian teaching. A Christian teaching everybody should master. The reason is because the word of God is potent enough. It is powerful enough to change anyone. However, the word of God will not have the same effect on everyone the same way. You see, one person could receive the word today and is changed. Another person could sit under that same atmosphere, under that same anointing, and will hear exactly the same thing the other person heard, and yet will not have the same result. We read in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13 how that the sower went out to sow, and he had the same seed. Emphasis on the fact that it was the same seed that the sower had. It's not like one seed was more viable than the other. He went out with the same seed. Of course, he planted some. Bible says some fell by the wayside. By the wayside, the same seed. But then the birds of the air came to feed on it. The other ones fell on the rocky ground. And of course, it grew, but it didn't last. The other one fell on the thorny ground. It grew, but after some time, the thorns choked it to death. Now, that's the same word in three different places. Now, the other one fell on the good ground. On the good ground, and it produced results. Hallelujah. But you also observe that even the one that fell on the good ground did not still produce the same results everywhere. Bible said, all that fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. It tells you that some ground can still be good, and the seed will be good. Yet, there will be different results in different places. There can be three good grounds, and we plant the same seed. But over time, the word will not have that seed will not have the same effect in other places. For instance, a certain farmer could decide to water his own very well, or to fertilize his own seed. You get the point? Or to, you know, do whatever to it, and then he'll begin to have more results than the other. That is how it is with the word of God. We all are under the same word, under the same anointing. But our response to the word of God will determine how much effect and how much impact that word will have in our lives. And that's why there are people that you can look at, and sometimes you wonder, have you been going to the same church others have been going to? Have you been hearing the same thing? Sometimes you look at them, you see a church that preaches even conduct and character. But you look at them, and when they act, you're wondering, do you go to the same church others go to? The difference can be so clear as black and white. But they sit under the same teaching, under the same word. And that's because the word of God will not produce the same result in everybody. It's about how you personally respond to the word that is going to change you. How you personally respond to the word. And so, you know, when I began to pastor very newly, and this is something that happens to every pastor. You know, sometimes you ask yourself, is it that I'm not doing a good job? Because you look at certain people, and it's like their life is not anything close to what you are teaching. Are you getting the point? Are you following me this morning? You just look at them and be like, what's happening to this one? This one came in here having bad character. The bad character is still there after 6 years. Is it that I'm not teaching well or the word of God is not working? But then you pay attention and look at some other people in that same church. You find that their life is readjusting. So you find out. It's not the word of God that is the problem. It is their response to you that is the problem. Are you getting what I'm talking about? And that's why this teaching is so important. This teaching is so important. Because you can sit under the same anointing. Sit under the same word. Read the same Bible that others have been reading. The same Bible, the same chapters, and yet there will be no significant difference in your life because of how you respond to that word. Are you getting the point? It's not amazing that sometimes you hear men of God talk and they mention a certain book. Say, this particular book, I read it. It changed my life forever. And there are people in that congregation that have read that book and they didn't change nothing in their lives. Now, they read it, but they didn't have the right response to the book or to the word in the book. And of course, it didn't do anything to them. So the word of God can do a whole lot, but your response to it will determine. So last Thursday, we rounded up with, you know, when teachings are coming. I showed you how to respond to teachings. As a way to respond, for instance, when the word of God is being taught. And some of you are responding well this morning. Some of you are still not responding well till now. That's why if you are here, you don't have a writing material, you are not responding well to God's word. So we come in next time, bring your writing material. That's one of the major ways. And I'll still talk about that somewhere along the line today. Because if you read the word of God very well, you find out that every time you find the teaching of God's word, you find writing. Writing. We're going to look at that this morning again. Fire writing. Hallelujah. So there's an attitude that God, you must have to God's word. There's a way to behave when God's word has been taught. So I can bless you. And I was showing you on Thursday, there's a way to behave even when you get home. You get the point? Just like there's a way to receive the seed, there's a way to water the seed for it to now grow. Are you following me? And so this morning, we just take on from there. I'm looking at it because I want to focus on prophecies today. Because prophecy is the word of God. You know, what is prophecy? Prophecy actually is inspired utterance. God's word, but it comes in an inspired moment. What I'm talking about this morning is, let me assume you are praying and you hear a word from God. And the Lord says this and that to you. How are we going to respond to ensure that that word bears fruit? Because many of us have heard different things. Yet it will have different results in different of us. Or maybe I'm preaching from here. And I begin to prophesy by the Spirit and say certain things by the Spirit. What should be the right response to ensure that those prophecies do not just become one of those things that was said? Because there are many people that have prophecies. So many people. Sometimes, and notice, observe that once you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, you begin to hear things. Because the Holy Ghost is a speaking spirit. I get the point? It's a speaking spirit. Read throughout the Bible. You find it all over the Bible. The Holy Ghost speaks. The Bible tells us, 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Spirit speaketh expressly on this wise. God always speaks. God's Spirit always speaks. So that's why once you close your eyes to spend 30 minutes or 45 minutes, the next thing is, things begin to pop up in your spirit. God always speaks. The question is, when you receive those words, or maybe not even from their own spirit, maybe a man of God is prophesying to you, walks up to you, and is giving you a personal prophecy, or is even giving a general prophecy in church. Next Sunday, I'm going to narrow down to talk about how to respond to impartations. Amen? Yeah. Because there is also personal prophecy, general prophecy. I'm just speaking here about the spirit. For instance, this year, the Lord has spoken to us by prophecy that this is our year of signs and wonders. And He explained to us what that means. Now, that's a prophecy that has gone forth that covers everybody in this ministry. Now, by November, some will have their results. By November, someone will be complaining, this pastor has explained to me how this is my year of signs and wonders. Because indeed, the kind of signs and wonders I saw this year, I almost died. There will be different results. But it is the same word. So it's about response to it. Are you following me, friends? It's about your response to it. One of the reasons why we are doing this teaching is because prophecies, of course, it is God speaking. But hear what I'm going to say. Prophecies are not fulfilled automatically. The mistake many people make, and I keep correcting this, is that they think that once they hear thus says the Lord, that it means it must happen. That's not correct. I'll say that again. Thus says the Lord does not mean it must happen. Now, say that again. Thus says the Lord does not mean it must happen. When I come and say, you know, thus says the Lord, you know, by this time next year, this will happen, there is no guarantee. He says, but the Bible says that no word of God that comes from the mouth of the Lord, I'm going to talk to you. No guarantee. Because, and I can show you that in the Bible. I can show you a few places where the Lord has said a thing and then eventually it didn't happen as God said it. In some of the occasions, it was the Lord that said, go back and say it no longer happen. For the popular story like that is Isaiah 38. How the Lord sent Prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah. And told Hezekiah, prepare your bed. You are going to die. And Hezekiah went to pray. And Isaiah came back and told him, you will no longer die. So that tells you that when God says a thing, it doesn't mean it must. And you have to listen to me. Because it is how you respond to what God has said that determines whether it will come to pass or not. In fact, it is how you respond to what God has said that will even determine how fast it will come to pass. So all of us have heard the same word. Some will begin to reap their reward next week. Some will be next month. Some will be next year. Some will catch this year of signs and wonders in 2030. And it's not God though. It is how they responded to whatever God has said. Are you following me? Are you still here this morning? So that's where to respond. And let me say something. One major reason why prophecies do not mean they must automatically come to pass. Emphasis on the word automatic. Is because, first is that prophecies do not always reveal the absolute will of God. Please hear what I'm going to say. Prophecies are not always a revelation of God's will over a matter. For instance, when God told Hezekiah, you are going to die. What God was telling Hezekiah is not, I want to kill you or I want you to die. He's just telling him, you will die. He wasn't revealing his will over the matter. He was revealing what will happen. I guess get what I'm saying. That's why, and I say this all the time. This is 2025. By next year, election prophecies will start again. And what people think about election prophecies, because election is 2027, right? What people think about those prophecies is the fact that once you begin to hear, thus says the Lord, this person will win. What they understand is that God wants this person to win. That's not correct. That's not correct. It's not every time that you hear, it's just like God telling someone, as you're about to step out, there is somebody that wants to rob you along that road. Is God revealing that I have planted someone there to take your phone? I get the point. It's not every time you hear thus says the Lord that is revealing the will of God or the mind of God over the matter. That's the first reason why prophecies are not automatic. The second reason why prophecies are not automatic is still because even when prophecy is revealing the will of God, God's will in itself does not get fulfilled automatically. I want you to hear what I'm saying. First, prophecies are not a revelation of the absolute total will of God over a matter. Number two, even when it is the will of God revealed, there is no place in the Bible that said that if it is the will of God, it must happen. The perfect example I give for this all the time is salvation. Salvation is the absolute will of God for every mankind, right? Yet, God will not force that salvation on anybody. So, two things I'm saying. One, prophecy is not the revelation of the will of God at all times. It can be, but not at all times. Number two, even when it is the will of God revealed, God will not still force himself on anybody. Man still has to cooperate. For instance, the will of God for every cultist on the street is that they will come to Jesus. The will of God for that person on the street is that they will come to Jesus. But God is not going to go and force them to come to Jesus. He will take the word to them. He will convince them. He will do this. But they have to respond with their hearts. Now, if they refuse to respond with their hearts, what does it mean? The will of God for them has failed. I get what I'm talking about here now. Now, that same way it is with salvation. That's how it is with every other thing. So there is someone under the sound of my voice now who that the will of God for him might be that he will end up as spending this year without debt. Spending this year without any sickness. That's God's will for him. Yes, that person may live this year in debt throughout the year. Now, that's not because that's what God wanted. That's because he did not cooperate with the will of God. I follow what I'm saying now. So God can will something and man will unwill it. If there's any English like that. God can will something for you and you will unwill it. He said, Lord, I know that's what but I don't want. And when you understand this simple thing I'm trying to explain to you this morning, you will learn how to stop blaming God. Because that's the problem. People are just blaming God. Anything that happened is God. Where was God when I failed my exam? When was God when I didn't do this? God that, you know, that's, because we just think if it is happening, then it must be the will of God. It's not always true. Are you following me? Perfect example, before we even get to scriptures and talk about some spiritual things. Perfect example, God, somebody gains admission into medical school. And that's medical school, does not read her books or his books, begins to play around, doesn't attend lectures, and then fails. Now, hear this. When he or she gained the admission, was it the will of God for him to become a doctor? Yes. Will he become a doctor? No. Now, that's not because God changed his mind over the matter. That's because a man did not cooperate with God's will over a matter. I get what I'm saying now. And so you must learn how to cooperate that so that even when prophecy is the will of God being revealed, even when a particular prophecy is God's will being revealed, you must learn how to cooperate to make sure it comes to pass. If not, it will fail. And you go up and down blaming prophets. Blaming and even doubting your... You know, the problem is, I want to say this to someone. Make sure you don't have a lot of failed prophecies. Because one of the things that failed prophecies does to you, when it keeps happening over time, you begin to doubt yourself. Even if you begin to doubt the things you hear, whether it's really God speaking to you. I get what I'm saying. For instance, you are praying on 6th of January last year, and the Lord said to you, in 1 year time, I'm going to make you this. You wrote it down. You are praying again. The Lord said, in 6 months time, and after 13 years, you go to your notes. You are not any of those things there. You will even begin to doubt the things you hear. You begin to question, am I sure it's God speaking to me? Has it happened to you before? Again, we begin to question, the day I heard this, I was so sure. I was so sure. I've never had that experience in my life. I heard them for some people. I heard it loud and clear. Yet it failed. It can fail. And if that keeps becoming a pattern in your life, if you don't address that sin, the devil will leverage on that and make you doubt yourself and doubt the voice of God. Such that when God now begins to speak to you, you are now second guessing. Is it him or is it not him? Then the next voice will talk to you. It's not the same way you heard 2 years ago. There are people that don't believe men of God today. They don't believe anything prophets. Once one of God says, by this time, they say, not them. Because that's the thing they told me last year. What he doesn't realize is that there was someone in that church that took that word last year seriously. And 1 year after, it has changed his life. So you must learn how to work with prophecies. Personal prophecies, not how to work with them. You know, I was sharing a story with you guys last week. I think it bears repetition. You know, I was, when I started church newly, pastoring some group of students, just very few of them. Many of them were lawyers. We are law students. All of them are lawyers today. One of them were law students in the final year. So I was just pastoring them. And then when they were graduating and all of that, I was praying for them in church, and I spoke forth by the Spirit. And I said, you know, none of you will have to wait an extra year before you go to law school. I just said that. All of them shouted, amen. And then, when the law school list was now released, all of them got it. Except two people. And so, the first thing was, I heard one of them, I heard somebody said one of them was complaining. I thought pastors, all of us, we get. Why didn't I get? And I told the person, I said, go tell her that all her friends got. That it just remained in her. And somehow, we're going to tell that this morning, she took that thing I told her very seriously. I said it like, I don't send you, other people have got to know, God has confirmed his word. But she took it seriously. And then prayed. And for some reason, another list was released that particular year. It doesn't always happen like that for law students. But it was released. Remaining one person. So I was concerned. So I paid the lady a personal visit. I can say, others have gone. What is keeping you? She said, you know, actually, Pastor, the thing is, I actually don't want to go. Because the father is a very big lawyer in this town. So I actually agreed with my parents that I was just going to do some, he wants me to do some kind of 1 year stuff in the office, in his office, you know, before my law school. I will now go next year. So it's my personal decision. I said, okay. I don't get the point. Now this prophet, this is what I just said, but someone does not want. God is not going to put rope around her neck and drag her to law school. I get what I'm talking about. Now, you must realize there is cooperation with prophecies. That's cooperation with prophecies. On Thursday, I'm going to talk about what you do when you get home or after you receive a prophetic word. But today, I'm just going to talk about what you do at the point when a prophetic word is coming. At least to catch it. Whether I'm speaking from the pulpit or maybe somebody's praying with you, holding your hand and is talking to you, or maybe you're hearing your own spirit, that's a way to receive it. Amen. Now, because I'm trying to lay foundation, let me just do this. Because the major key to receiving prophetic word is that 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19, where the Bible says, despise not prophesying. If you, verse 18 said, you should give thanks, right? In everything, give thanks. For that's the will of God concerning you. Verse 19 said, quench not the spirit. Verse 20 said, despise not prophesying. Because if you despise, because that's the major key in receiving at the point when prophetic word is coming. Because I could be speaking by the spirit and say, Paul says the Lord, this, that they are begging at them. You see that not them attitude, you are despising prophesying. Because what you do at that point will tell me whether you receive what I'm speaking or not. Are you still here? Are we still here? So start with, there are different categories of prophetic words. I just had to put them into three to simplify it. The last time I thought on this, you know, one of the trainings I had with some people, I gave a lot of, about six or seven of them. But I just make them into three so they can be simpler for you. First, there are prophetic words that is the will of God being revealed. So I think I'll use this board now. Okay, so sometimes prophetic word is the will of God revealed. Not every prophetic word is. So you must not have to respond to it when it is the will of God revealed. Sometimes prophetic word is not the will of God revealed. Sometimes it is the consequence of an action revealed. Then thirdly, sometimes it is the agenda of hell, of Satan, or satanic agenda, however you want to write it. Now these are the three broad categories of words that you can receive in prophecy. Whether man of God is speaking, or pastor is talking, or you are receiving your spirit. For instance, prophecy that is the will of God is God telling you, I'm going to do this and do this and this and this and do this. That is, he's telling you what he wants to do. Okay, this year I want, you know, I'm going to make you this and all those things you've heard from God. He tells some of them come to you as visions, ideas, what God wants to do, what he wants to do for you, what he wants to accomplish through you. Now there's prophetic word that is the consequence of an action. Okay, this is not God saying what he wants to do. This is God telling you what will happen as a result of something that you're already doing or you are going to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give an example. Most election prophecies fall under the second category. When he said Tinubu is going to win election, you know, that prophecy, some people gave it in the last election. And people were angry with them. Now, Tinubu was going to win election. Now, that did not mean God wants Tinubu to win election. That is God saying, people are going to vote for Tinubu and he will win. He said, they didn't vote him into power. However, the case is, he has won. The other one is your business. Do you understand? So you must realize how prophetic words come. There are certain things that God will say to you, and God is not trying to say, this is what I want to happen. It's just like there's a particular story of a man of God in those days who had a very poor feeding habit. His health, whatever, was very bad. And God sent a prophet to him and told him to readjust this. Gave him like three things, not just feeding, the other things. Readjust this and this in your life. If not, you are not going to live very long. He ignored that. He died within 1 year. Now, that wasn't God saying he wants to kill him. You get the point? That was God saying there is a consequence of whatever you've been doing. I follow what I'm saying now. So you have to realign. So there is that second part. You must also learn how to respond to that one. How you respond to the first is not how you respond to the second. Do you understand me? There is a third one that is the agenda of Satan revealed. Just like I gave an example. We're praying now and the Lord said, and I just said, I see fire incident somewhere around so place. Now that's not the word you receive with glory to God. That is the agenda of hell being revealed. That's also a way to receive that one. I get the point. So these are different categories. For instance, let's start with the first one. When a prophetic word, for instance, is the will of God being revealed. Maybe you are praying and I speak by the Spirit. Just like I said, this is a way of signs and wonders. That's the will of God being revealed. Right? Or you're praying and something says, you know, just hear that voice, your spirit, telling you this will happen concerning your exams, concerning your studies, concerning your business, concerning this job and all of that, receive all those words. The first way to respond to that kind of word is with your tongue. Hear this, your tongue is your hand in the spirit. You know, in the physical, you use your hand to receive. In the spiritual, you use your tongue to receive. Is someone following me this morning? Are you still in church? Your tongue is what you use to receive in the spirit. That's why in church you say, shout amen. When we pray, say amen. That thing is, you must use your tongue to receive. That's why we are talking about, we have to classify this, because what you say is what will come. For instance, somebody tells you, the way I'm looking at you will not prosper, and you say, amen, you just received it. I get the point. Your tongue is your hand for receiving in the spirit. So show me people that don't know how to use their tongue when it has to do with prophetic words. Many words will fly over them. That's why once we get to that point, I'll address this next week, I will begin to declare that I see by the spirit that this. Oh, troops are bringing resources for God's people. That's not the time to keep quiet and say, shout, talk. Because things will fly over your head. You will not catch one. I get to the point. Your tongue is your hand in the spirit. Hand in this context is hand for receiving. You know, in Luke chapter 1, the angel came to Mary. I've been looking at this Mary story for some time now. Because it blessed me tremendously. In Luke chapter 1, the angel came to Mary and told Mary that she was going to have a child. Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, in this context, this prophecy is the will of God being revealed. Right? God wanted Mary to carry a child called Jesus. Now, verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign forever over the house of Jacob. Okay, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I'm not a man? At this point, she has not received the prophecy. She was still trying to understand the prophecy. I'm trying to tell you that I can give you a prophecy and you will not receive it. It's awful I'm talking about. I can say, you are blessed and you will not receive it. Not receive it. Because if God has said it, you're jumping into him automatically. It doesn't work like that. Are you following me? It doesn't work like that. So you say, how can these things be? He's an honorable man. Because she was still trying to understand, is this possible? I've never been with a man. I'm not planning to be with a man until I get married to my husband, Joseph. So how can these things be? And of course, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Remember this at a mansion? Yeah. Thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. What was the angel trying to do? The angel was trying to convince her that this thing can happen. Verse 37 now said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now read verse 38 together. This is where how Mary received the prophecy. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. That was when that prophecy was received. I follow what I'm saying. If Mary had been there, it's not possible. It's not possible. Has it ever happened in this world that somebody can? Now, the angel was going to leave her and go to another maiden. Because most times, hear what I'm going to say. Most times, prophecies don't always carry names. This I'm telling you, that's why I can give prophecy to someone in church and another person will key into it and still have the same result. When the Bible said a virgin, the Old Testament, a virgin shall conceive and be with a child, it didn't tell us the name of the virgin. Isaiah gave that prophecy. Isaiah didn't say there is a virgin that shall be called Mary. Are you following what I'm saying now? It was an open prophecy, so they just located Mary. See, if Mary had said it cannot happen. Such a precious assignment, God will not force on anybody. So what God would have simply done is look for someone else. Say, you are found before the Lord again. You shall conceive and be with a child. That one also say, it's not possible. Look for someone else. But somehow God knew Mary was going to receive it. Are you getting the point? So whether in your personal prayer life or in church, you just hear a word from the Lord. Respond with your tongue. Did you hear what I said? Respond with your tongue. I'm talking about petition next week. If I say you are blessed, what do you say? Amen. Or you repeat it and say, I'm blessed. You're praying in your personal prayer, and God begins to tell you, I'm going to do this. Blend your voice to that thing God is saying in your spirit. Start speaking it out. You are receiving what you are hearing. So there is reception. So the fact that a word has been spoken doesn't mean you've got it. Let me show you how it works. Just practically. The word of God being spoken is like me giving you this phone. Right? Just like I say, from this next year, this is going to happen. I'm giving you a phone. Now, you have to stretch your hand to collect the phone from me. If you don't, I will take back my phone or I will still leave it this way. You still don't have that phone. So someone has to stretch for this hand. That's why in salvation, how do you get saved? You believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. Remember I told you salvation is a pattern in all of these things. You believe with your mouth, your heart, you confess with your mouth. So must we confess before we are saved? Well, if you believe, you are saved. But if you believe, you must confess. Because the Bible tells us of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever has filled your heart will come from your tongue.
So when you hear a prophetic word from the Lord like that, that's not the time to begin to second and say, is it even possible? Can it ever happen to me? You say. So people that come to church, for instance, and don't have a lot of amen to bring to church, actually will go home with nothing. Yes. I get what I'm saying. So the first thing you do is to talk. Use your tongue to receive. When prophetic word is revealing the will of God, use your tongue to receive it. Use your tongue to say, I receive this. That's why, you know, I've said all the time, when you see me preach and I start prophesying, most of you stand up, most of you kneel. That's a good attitude also towards the word of God. But please don't just kneel down there or stand up. Make sure you are receiving. So you notice, in church, receiving is an action, is activity. It's not a passive thing. It's not like, I did and I did receive. As they talk, I did hear. It's something you do. Receiving is a verb. It's a doing thing. It's a doing word. Something you do. What do you do? Just like in physical, receiving is action. I can't give. It's only a rude person. Imagine you try to give somebody money and the person just says, drop it there. So I'm trying to get you money. He said, drop it there. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to drop it in my pocket. What I just wanted to do is to stretch your hand. Collect it. So you do that with your tongue. That's why when you go to many churches, that most of these churches that are centered around prophecies and all of that, which is not actually the best way to build a church. A church should have prophecies, but the church should be built on the word of God. Right? So there should be the word of God, that should be the miracles, that should be all of that should be all in one. That's what makes a sound church. However, you go to those centers where they just built on prophecies. One of the things you observe, if you pay attention, is that they shout a lot of amen. I get the point. Now, they are not just fanatics who are shouting. They are not just people that are deceived. That is how they receive what the man is giving. Like if you come there and you say, I'm not going to shout nothing, I'm not going to get anything. And that's why also your personal prayer time, when God speaks a word to you, I've given you this scripture before. Bible said, once has it been said, twice have I heard. Learn that whatever God says, you hear it two times. How do you hear it two times? When he says it to your spirit, you put it on your lips. Are you what I'm talking about? When he says it to your spirit, you put it on your lips. When he says that your school fees issue, I've sent someone to pay it for you. Put it on your lips. Say, my school fees is paid. God has sent someone to pay it for me. That's at that point you are receiving what God has given. Are you still here? So you put it on your lips. So first thing, you should receive with your tongue. And when you receive it with your tongue, the next thing I always recommend that people do, and the final thing that, you know, if you go back to that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, before we got to verse 20, where the Bible said the spirit of prophesying, there were instructions leading up to that verse 20. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. 17, pray without ceasing, and all of that. You see, I believe those instructions you find there leading up to verse 20 is how not to despise prophesying. And that's why when prophetic word comes, what's come is good you rejoice over them. And why do we recommend that you rejoice and you celebrate when you hear a prophetic word? If you really believe it, you will celebrate. The reason people don't rejoice when they hear prophetic word is because to them, it is yet another thing that has been said. If you really, really believe it. And I was telling you guys on Thursday, that skit that I saw on Facebook. Very powerful stuff. Where a woman called the husband. I said, babe, our twins are coming. And the husband was so excited and drove back from work. Came, carried the wife, said, babe, sit down. Tell me all about it. What did the doctor say? Wait, as in, how long gone are we? The woman said, I didn't see any doctor. I said, I will just come that our twins are coming. He said, I prayed, and the Lord said that to me. And the man was like, are you serious? So this is why I drove from my office. Why didn't you tell me it's prayer? I thought the doctor said that our twins are coming. The woman said, you drove down from the office, you are excited, be because you thought the doctor said. He said, He said, now I'm telling you, it's not doctor that said that. It is God that said. And your excitement is dropping. You know the problem? He doesn't believe that thing that God said. He said, I believe now, but he doesn't believe it. If he had believed it, you have the same excitement you would have had when he thought the doctor said. In fact, if you think the doctor said, and you are just saying, glory to God. When you hear it is God that said, you now do a run in the Holy Ghost. That's how to receive it. Because if you really believe it, you will rejoice about it. And that's why every time, when the Lord told us, for instance, I'm going to give you, you're going to get into your building, your land that I'm building this year. That's a very unthinkable thing to think. Don't you think so? That from zero naira, in 1 year, God can give you a land in a major part of the town and then give you a building in the same year and all of that. Now, if we really believe it, it calls for some rejoicing. Because when God says a thing, he's saying it because it has already been worked out in the spirit. Remember I told you that in Mashon, you are the one catching up with God. Anything that God is telling you has already worked it out. You are the one catching up. I get the point. And I'm going to say that again. Every time, so in the sight of God, a land has been bought. A building is already standing. We are the ones playing catch up. I feel what I'm saying now. Now, so when you get that word, you respond with joy. 1 Corinthians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Now, that's not when he went to start saying, am I sure? He said, I'm telling you now, at this time next week, this will happen. He said, amen, oh. Ha. Amen, oh. Hmm. Oh, may, if it happens, the guy is in doubt. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. You know, when Mary eventually went to the house of Elizabeth and and saw what happened, Bible said, Elizabeth rejoiced. Go see the psalm and the prophetic words that came from Elizabeth and came from Mary in that same chapter, Luke chapter 1. They were so excited. You receive God's word excitedly, with joy. David said, I rejoice at your word as one as sang grace spoiled. That's how to rejoice at prophecies too, because it's still the word of God. So that's why if we say, give your neighbor a word, and somebody is giving you a word, if you believe that is the word of God, it will show. Some people are so unemotional towards God's word. Like God's word cannot make them laugh. And I was saying it last week. It can't do anything to them. Here you are, zero naira, somebody is telling you that God is saying that in 1 week time, you're going to be counting your millions. You say, amen. Is it a problem? You don't believe it. You don't. Like, I always give this example. If it is your friend, maybe if the person that told you that is your husband, right? Your husband that you know that is Odogu, not Odiegu. You know, I like real Odogu. You know, that is Odogu and there is Odiegu. So which one are you? Because if Odiegu tells you, don't worry, next week I'll give you money for that, she say, That's the response. I give them, amen. You know, that's how some of us relate to God. I get what I'm saying now. God is not Odiegu. God is Odogu. If Odogu tells you, don't worry, next week I'm going to give you that shoe. Ah, and you know he has been living up to his word. You just can pick the clothes you're going to wear with the shoe and keep. Because you know that he might not even be one shoe that will come. Because Odogu used to do like Odogu. If Odogu wants to act, he might send 3 shoes at once. And that is how to respond. At that point, you see where the woman's face will lie. She might have been lying down, sulking. You know, women are very interesting. I've been sulking. But I'll give it to the should have said it since now. The light, the joy will come. And men should be Odogu. And being an Odogu in your home, by digression, is not about having all the money. Right? It's about living up to your promises. That's simply what it is. Let your wife be able to know that when you say you will, Now, if you wound, don't say. No matter how they pressurize you, don't say anything. Say, will you buy it? Say, I will not buy it. Just say, oh, one of these days. But if you promise, do it. That's how, you know, the whole idea of, for me, is not about how much you have. It's about being reliable. That's what for me. Being trusted. That when you see you're going to do this. And that's also how to be to your kids. Because many of our parents did that to us. Say, well, if you take first, I'll buy you a bicycle. Now, if you go by the man of us should have had a bicycle shop by now. Because that one, I'll buy a bicycle, you take first. Say, yeah. Now, it gets to a time, by the time you begin to grow up, your father says that, you say, also a aeroplane. Hallelujah. So, but that's the whole idea behind the whole Odogwu thing I'm saying. What I'm saying, the other is Odogwu that's been reliable. Since I'm going to get you this. That's the way you behave. That's the way you behave. That's the same thing you do when God speaks a word. If you really believe it, joy will come. Joy will come. And says, but I'm joyful in my heart. Joy is an action thing. Rejoice is agalio. Agalio in the Greek. It means to run. It means to shout. It means to do a spin. That's what it means. Glory to God. So when you receive, you rejoice. So, look, let me show you how to receive prophetic words. When it is the will of God being communicated. Somebody's telling you, you know, I see in the spirit. Oh, you are rising at that. Glory, amen, I receive. You are rejoicing. That is you. You are actively taking it. There are people that don't know how to take God's word when it's coming. It's coming and it's flying over their head. Because they're phlegmatic. I'm just a phlegmatic. I'm not really the loud type. I'm just prim and proper. There's no prim and proper with the Holy Ghost too. There's nothing like that. When the spirit is moving, sometimes you see the most coordinated bro that likes to be on time and all that. We see him behaving. You know there is no prim and proper with the Holy Ghost. And such an atmosphere. Hallelujah. And so that's the way I pray in your room. And God drops those words in your spirit. Take off and run around the room. Hallelujah. Do a shout. Do a speed in the Holy Ghost. Because you know that God is not lying to you. God is not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Has he said a thing? Will he not bring it to pass? Has he told you this is your year of signs and wonders? Will he not bring it to pass? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he says a thing, I take it and I rejoice over it. And I tell you, I've never had any failed prophecy. If God speaks to me, I'm going to see it. It's going to come back. Because when it's coming, I'm receiving it. Pack those things. Pack those things. Pack those prophecies. Pack those prophecies. Glory to God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. This is my year. My year of signs and wonders. My year of signs and wonders. God has made me a sign. He has made me a wonder to my world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's a good place to shout. Shout, shout. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. God has never lied to us. He said, I swear I will never lie unto David, unto Jacob. God is swearing he will never lie unto you. He won't. He won't. Now, without God actually swearing, you can take it by his word. But by the time he now swears and says something, you should know he wants you to believe him totally. That better days are coming. Better days are coming. Better days are coming. Hallelujah. I rejoice at thy word. As one as some grace Paul. That's why if you live with a proper Christian around you, once in a while you'll be hearing some shouts from his room. And that's one sign that I live with a proper Christian around you. Because you say, why is that guy sometimes he just starts shouting unnecessarily? It's not unnecessarily. People have a saying. Yeah? Should I give you the saying? That when you see a madman dancing in the middle of the road, that you should not stop him. That there is something playing music. Inside the bush. Where is your shouting? There is something tickling us. Don't worry, that's why we shout the way we shout. Yes. Where is your madman in the middle of the road just dancing, dancing? Something is playing music. When you see me just say, ha 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 ha.
Something is talking to me. We are not that mad. We are not as mad as you think we are. We are actually hearing voices. We hear things. And when we hear it, we know how to behave. Hallelujah. So whenever God is talking to you, don't let it fly over your head. Catch it. So when I say, you know, better days are here, as I just see, you're also shouting, better days are here. You shout and rejoice. It means you are taking it and you are rejoicing as though it's already yours. Because it's actually yours. Because God is the God that calleth those things that be not as though they are. And they eventually come to be. Eventually come to be. Glory to God. So next time you hear prophetic word, receive it. And again, receiving is not passive. You don't receive things passively. Just on your own. So as I'm talking, I catch them. I hear. It doesn't work like that. Start to stretch your hand and take it. And that's what you do with your tongue. Then begin to respond. Sit so that we're close. Surely. Let's do with your tongue. You receive. You rejoice. You give thanks. Hallelujah. But that's the next line. Verse 16 said, rejoice evermore. Verse 17 said, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 said, give thanks in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. As verse 18, in everything, give thanks, or this is the will of God concerning you. You know, I made this, I wish I had more time, but, you know, more to say with this scripture. Well, see, this, First Thessalonians 35, is one of the things that helped me to master how to receive prophetic words very well. He said, rejoice evermore, verse 17, say, pray without ceasing. That's why it's always good to receive prophetic words prayerfully, as it is coming. Don't receive prophetic word passively and in the flesh. Then verse 18 now said, give thanks. While it's coming, you are receiving with thanksgiving. Verse 19 now said, quench not the spirit. And I can tell you, as God's word is coming, and you are shouting amen, and you are rejoicing, and you are giving thanks, that thing will keep flowing. Observe this thing I just told you. Even your personal prayer time. Once you begin to hear those things, you are rejoicing. What is that? What are you doing? You are not quenching the spirit. In fact, let me bring it. This is not correct, but I'm just going to use it for an example. Let me bring it to when we are in church. Have you observed that some of these churches, which I don't recommend, a church should not have a hype man. I don't think a church, not I don't think, I know a church should not have a hype man, but they have hype men now. That's what happened that day. But let me tell you why some of those things happen. You observe that once the man of God is trying to prophesy, and that hype man is hyping him, that thing we keep flowing. It's not correct though. But why they have hype men is because most times there are no trained congregation. A congregation should be trained as per how to let the spirit keep flowing when the pastor starts going. That's why if I begin to say something by the spirit, that's the way you guys should start responding. That thing will keep going. Even if I want to stop it to keep flowing. What, as you are rejoicing, receiving, celebrating, you keep going. More will be pouring into your spirit. But as a way you're going to act, you quench the spirit. Imagine you now, as you are still trying to test whether you can hear from God or not. You walk up to somebody and tell the person, good evening, Pastor Chid. While I was praying, the Lord said, I should tell you, that business deal you are pursuing, that is going to do it for you. And Pastor Chid is just looking at you. He says, that business, you know, by the time you speak for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, say, that's all. Because you said, now, what is happening? By his response, he has quenched that spirit. Yes. But imagine you are doubting whether it's God talking to you. And you just tell Pastor that business deal. And he says, yes, 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 yes. Stands up. Ah! You will turn to Prophet Elijah immediately. The things you will say to him, he will not believe it. Because he has somehow aided the flow of that spirit. Are you what I'm talking about? And because this thing is about your emotions, you're also human. It affects how you receive too. How you keep receiving from the Lord. So a man of God comes to you and he's talking to you. And just standing like 6 o'clock. Looking at him like he did something to you. The next thing, he's going to leave you and just move on. And sometimes, you don't realize that. Sometimes when man of God are talking to you, you know how this hearing from God thing is. You say, sometimes you are trying to doubt whether it's correct or not. I'm actually, I'm not using my mind. And they are talking to somebody, they're just looking at me. I'll just leave you. So your personal prayer time, notice that once you begin, look at Luke chapter 10,
The Bible said when these guys came back and they told Jesus that demons were subject unto them, the Bible said, Jesus told them, rejoice not that demons are subject unto you. He said, but in this rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Verse 21, the Bible said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said. So most times when people begin to rejoice, utterance begins to flow. So if you are rejoicing in your own person as you are receiving words from God and you are rejoicing, oh glory to God, more things will begin to flow. Because rejoicing will always best utterance. In that hour, he rejoiced in spirit and said. So once you begin to rejoice, you open the door for utterance. I get what I'm talking about. Now, it's not just what I teach. If you've done it practically, you'll see it in your own personal life. Pray and pray and pray and pray. And then, when God speaks to you, just take it, say those words, laugh, shout, more things will start flowing immediately at that point. Because you just responded well. You opened the flow. Because God is a speaking spirit, and they are not hearing. So once you keep yielding to him, you keep hearing. And that rejoicing and that shouting you are doing, you are yielding to him the more. It's not God you are trying to move by all those things you are doing. You can't move him to keep talking. He's always talking. He's a speaking spirit, like I told you. But as you are responding, you are yielding, you are yielding, more things will be coming. That's why I tell you, you cannot spend time in prayer with God and not hear from him. He's always talking. Hallelujah. That's why you find out, as you want to do a project, all you might just get is, it's time to, you know, I want to give you a building parts business. You know that kind of business. What do they call that? Well, building parts can appear. In the actual building. God said, I'm going to set up a shop. You just saw that in the spirit as you're praying. Now somebody's just going to just take that and just pass. But someone is going to say, wow, take it. Just thank you, Father. My building parts business. Oh, he's here. You're rejoicing. The next thing that is going to come, as you are rejoicing, praying, receiving that in, more things will start flowing. It will be located in social place. Look at how it is going to come. Again, get point. After this, now meet social person. After this, talk to social person. After this, go and check. Again, point. More things. What's happening? You are actively receiving. More things are flowing. I get the point. Before you leave that prayer room, you've not just had an idea. You don't just have an idea in your head. You have a full note on how to go about it. Why? Because you received it very well. That's the same thing you do when people are talking to you personally, personal prophecy. That's the same thing you do when God is talking to you even in your own personal prayer time. You receive it well. Somebody shout a big amen. Amen. I get him blessed. You receive it. I'm still in this first one, the will of God. Lord, we're going to close soon. You receive it well. Why I'm not bothered is we have Thursday. Is that okay? Thursday service, I'll continue on this line. Receive it well. So, by the time you are done with all that receiving, what do you now do? You begin to write those things. You document it. I will leave it at this and open it up next week, as in Thursday. You write. What I mean, I will leave this will of God matter on this. I want to address this too before we go. But please, once you receive from God, write it. It's so important. God said to Habakkuk, chapter 2, write the vision, make it plain. The reason you will write is because if you actually have a serious prayer life, there are 101 things that God will tell you that you will forget. Because again, he is a speaking spirit. You remember that? So once you get to the place of prayer and begin to pray, you will hear things. And so by next 3 months, you've forgotten the things you heard today. And so you write. We have a book in the Bible called the book of Isaiah. Why? Because a man called Isaiah was documenting the things God was saying to him. We have the book of Jeremiah because a man called Jeremiah documented what God said to him. Read all those books. They documented even with date and time. In the month of this, in the year of this, the Lord said unto Ezekiel. Ezekiel documented. We have the book of Joel because a man documented the things the Lord said to him. We have the book of Revelation today because a man like John saw things in the spirit and wrote them down. And so if you are wise, you should pen down the things God is saying to you. I said it before and I'm saying it again. That's why, for instance, you don't come to church without a note. If you come to church without a note, many things will fly over your head. Or many things you will shout and receive them, but you cannot walk with them. Because by Thursday, I'm beginning to show you what to do when you get home. Because remember what we did in the last, when we were talking about receiving teachings. There are two sides to this. There is what you do when the word is coming. I've already addressed that now. There is what you do after the word has come. When the word is coming, why are you doing all of this? You are receiving the seed into the ground. After the word has come, what do you do now? You begin to water. You begin to weed the earth. If you don't weed and water and all of that, the words will not still work. I get what I'm saying. The words will not still work. And that's not because God is not working in that way. Because you actually, or you may work, but not fully. Remember, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Are you following me, friends? And so you write it down. You document. Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. And thank God Habakkuk wrote this vision. That's why we are reading the book of Habakkuk today. Are you getting the point? Thank God. And so you write it down. So apart from taking notes of the teaching in church, you should also be taking notes of the things that God is telling you. Whether he's speaking from the pastor. How many of you have been in church like this, listening to me, and God is talking to you about a plan that you want to execute? Does it happen to you? As in separately, you write those things down. Because in this atmosphere of the teaching of God's word, your spiritual antenna is most heightened. That's the truth. Atmosphere of the word, atmosphere of prayer, your spiritual antenna is most heightened, so you can receive things as you're sitting here. Sometimes there are books that I've written and I received the full chapter of the book while I was in church listening to message. I'm not joking. Like the full chapter, chapter 1 to 1, I'll just pen it up as I'm listening to a teaching. I get the point. As a matter of fact, there are teachings I've done, there are series. For instance, let me give an example. I thought that was last year or last 2 years. No, it's not last 2 years old. I did a series on taxes. I received that whole taxes teaching by sitting under my pastor's ministration. Now, he wasn't talking about it at all. It's not any way related to what he preached in that conference. But as I was preaching, God was talking to me. So I penned it down. That whole series, I was in service. Now, I didn't start preparing the message, but all the key points God told me to see, I penned it down somewhere. And then I knew that was it. So some of the pastors can remember, it was Saturday night in Lagos, and I called you guys. I just dropped a message on the show. I said, next month I'm doing a teaching on taxes. I was in that meeting. And so you write the things God is telling you, so you don't forget them. Imagine God told me about that meeting, and I said, okay, I'm going to remember it when I get home. I will remember it. You will not remember it. I'll give you an example. What is the name of our building now? Spiritual Hub. Amen? Spiritual Hub. That's what we are building it this year. But when the Lord gave me this name, Spiritual Hub, was the year, I've checked it, year 2020, December. I was in a meeting. The man of God that even gave me that prophetic word does not even know that that's what he was saying. He just walked up to me. I was speaking by the Spirit. He said, he has never met me before. He said, your ministry shall be known as a hub of the supernatural. He said a few other things, which I penned down. This year, I began to pray to the Lord. Father, you said I give us our building. What name shall we call it? He said, go back to your notes. I told him 2020. Now imagine I didn't write that down. I get the point. Don't let words fly over your head. Let it fly over your head. Write a vision. Make it plain. So when it is the will of God, that's how you receive. Now, quickly, when it is the consequence of an action. Now, I won't say much about it. I'll open it up on Thursday. But I just felt the Lord said to talk about it. What do you do at that point is take a repentance posture. When we walk up to you and we're telling you, you know, God says the Lord that this, that is happening. But then, that because this is happening, because of this way you've been going, look at what is coming. That's what I'm saying. Glory, glory. Especially if it's a correction. No, prophetic words can be correction. Somebody can walk up to you and I can speak, but sometimes God can even tell you, you can be praying in your prayer room, and the Lord just opens one side. Say, the way you've been acting towards evangelism, the way you've not been going to church every day, Satan is going to come and attack your home, and you're going to be weak when that will happen. That is God trying to show you what will happen as a result of an action you're taking. What should be your posture at that point? Repentance. Realignment at that point. That's not the time for hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. Mm-mm. I get what I'm saying. You repent at that point. So when there are such, because those kind of words will come. If you don't hear those kind of words, you're not hearing from God though. There are such words where God just tells you the way you're going about your finances. Sometimes he doesn't even say it like this. You're just praying in your spirit. My finance is blessed. And suddenly in your heart, you just know that you're going to be broke in the next 3 months with what you're spending. Does it not happen to you? And that's the time to realign immediately and repent. You don't have to say, oh, glory, I can never be broken. But like God is trying to talk to you now. That should tell Lord down how you're spending. Say, I can never be broken in my life. You foul devil. You are rebuking it. It's coming again and again. You've bought 2 gowns. You've ordered 5. Calm down. You realign immediately. Because if you don't, you are going to eventually become broke. And it will not be because God wanted to make you broke. It will be because there was something that was going to happen. God showed you what your action was going to birth. Just like that brother I told you. Prophecy said, the way you are going about... Three about 4 things in his life that the Lord told him that if you don't work on this, one of them was his feeding habits. The other one was just things around ministry. If you don't work on this and this and that, that you're going to, you know, that wasn't the will of God being revealed in that context. Do you understand? In fact, the will of God in that context was to save him. Now that kind of message will call for repentance. It's even good at that point to fall on your knees. You get the point? Before that, that's what I'm going to shout. Hallelujah, I'm going to die if I don't change my eating habits. That's not what you do. That's time you fall on your knees and you repent. And you realize, say, Father, I'm going to obey you. Still with your tongue. Right? But this time you're not saying, amen, I receive. Still with your tongue. I'm going to obey you. I align myself to your will and your leading. Yes, I'm going to obey you. So some of you, that kind of word of correction has come to you different times. You become, that's the problem why New Year resolutions don't work. Because once you begin to make new resolutions, you begin to say, this year, that. Now God is now talking to you, your prayer. Or maybe just, you've written your vision, your plans for the year. Say, this year I'm going to open 5 boutiques. You never have one. And then you now go to the place of prayer. And God begins to give you some corrections. Some things that will eventually happen if you don't allow you, and then you let it pass. You didn't receive that one well. Then you're going to fail. Then the third part of it is when the prophetic, when the word is an agenda of Satan being revealed. With the satanic agenda being revealed. Ah. Now, there is a way to receive that one. You are praying, and God shows you, you see an accident happen. Some people don't know. The only thing they say is God forbid. It's not it. You get the point? It says, I was praying and I saw where they were carrying my father's corpse. Ah! Now, God is not saying, I'm going to kill your father. God is not saying, I want your father dead. Of course, sometimes God can tell you, I want your father now. Maybe you have a father. Very aged, you get the point. And God is saying, I just want to know that it's time for him to come back. That can happen. You know, death is not always a bad thing. Are you aware? Because we are going to die. The way we behave around death, all of us, nobody should be dying. Do you understand? Because you see a man that has lived up to 130 years, 140, and he dies. People are still crying. Why did you leave me in this world? What are you expecting? We are just praying for full long lives. Is that okay? He didn't say, the eternal life he promised us is in our spirit. On earth, he said he will give us long life. Say, with long life, will I satisfy you? So we're just praying for long, full, fulfilled lives. And not actually. So there are cases where God can show you, well, I'm going to call your dad home very soon. And all of that. Now, when that comes, one of the things, if it was me, I'll just go meet my dad That's if I know that this is not the devil trying to do it, God just showing me. I'll just go and meet him and tell him, ah, sir, you know, prepare your ways. Of course, that's not like saying he's going to hell. If there's anybody you're angry with, you know, put your house in order. There is a place to put your house in order. Do you understand? That's what you do in that point, in that place. But I mean, you're praying and you see a vision where the devil wants to bring death into your home. That is not the will of God coming. That's a place, there's a way to receive that one. And if you don't receive it well, it will happen. But the plan of God is that it will not happen. Whenever God shows you the agenda of hell, it is to the end that it will not happen. Or at least that you should escape it. Two things God wants to achieve when he's showing you the agenda of hell. Either he wants to avert it or he wants to exempt you. I've said that again. Either he wants to avert it or he wants to exempt you. And if you respond well to it, he will avert it or exempt you. Luke 22 verse 31, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, the Satan has planned to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. You get the point? Sift you as wheat. He's not saying, I tell you, Peter, whether I like it or not, to be sifted as wheat. He's saying, look at what Satan has planned, but I've prayed for you. Why did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed to the end that he will not be sifted as wheat. And I've taught it from here again and again. Peter also sifted as wheat eventually. Did he deny Jesus? Yes. But did that thing take him away from the Lord and from ministry? No, because Jesus prayed for him. So there's a way to respond. It's all following what I'm saying now. Satanic agenda. In fact, the reason, I'm talking about response now. The reason, because that's this prophecy of Jesus to Peter. Satan has found sifted as wheat. Well, Peter fell for the temptation. But Peter wasn't sifted as wheat because Jesus prayed for him. The reason he even fell for that temptation at all was because that night that Jesus said, watch and pray, he was sleeping. If he had prayed that night, this thing would not have happened at all. So, I'm saying this to some of you that are prophets and God is talking to. Don't feel bad that you gave someone a negative prophecy and it did not happen. Be happy that it did not happen. For some people brag with prophetic word. Shall I tell you that I'll be playing crash? You have seen it? Play half crash. Ah, that's not what God wants, sir. It is to the end that it will be averted, or at least self should be exempted. Are you what I'm talking about? So I'm saying, and this is also to say to you that it's not every time a man of God gives you a prophet that is not sounding so sweet that you call him a prophet of doom. See, false prophets, every time telling me about. That can never be a bad thing. The only thing is that the man of God must know how to communicate it. I'm not trying to say. I've been preaching here one day, some time ago, and I saw a fire incident. And I announced it actually. But how did I announce it? I prayed against it. And it happens again and again. Again. Sometimes I see people, some of you don't know why I say some things to you. I can see somebody just sometimes, I'm done with people, and they just leave me. And as I'm just walking, and I'm just seeing in the spirit how this person is going to be robbed. And daily I just smut under my breath in the name of Jesus. I know how to receive those words. Now, God is not showing me because he really wants to rob. I want them to rob that boy so that he will know. That's not why. So when you receive those kind of things, there is a way. There is a way. So you notice I'm already showing you. You pray. You pray against it. Those kind of words should be received and attacked with prayer. So if there are negative things that are pumping up your spirit, it's not God saying, I want to do this to you. It is God showing you what the devil wants to do to you. To the end that you will stand and deal with it. So I give you two examples in scriptures and we close. Have you been blessed? First is Matthew chapter 2. The angel appeared unto Joseph in a dream and told Joseph that Herod is coming for this child. Now, he wasn't telling Joseph, you know, I want this child to die. Or I want Herod to kill this child. Herod is coming. So carry this baby and run. What was the purpose of that prophecy? The reason why that word came is so that that event could not be averted. Because Herod has made up his mind he was going to do it. And God will not override anybody's will. It was coming so that Jesus can be exempted from it. So there are certain things that will definitely happen. Not because God has planned it, because man has planned that it will happen. Because, of course, God will not force anybody. So what God does is now to bring a word to exempt you from it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you take it up in prayer. You pray, you just see an accident. You're praying, and you just see lack. Not because of consequence of anything. You just see that there is this world or this dark cloud. And I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost. As someone that's been feeling this dark cloud around you. I don't know. That's why God is in the spirit. Feel this dark cloud around you. It's so strong sometimes. You feel something is about to go wrong. You don't know what it is, but you feel it strongly. Now, that's not that. It's not time to be shouting, God forbid, God forbid. Mm-mm. God forbid is not prayer. Get up and pray until you throw that enough. Such that you will avert it, or if at all it will ever happen, you will not be a victim of it. Because I tell you, 95% of the times, your fears are not real. Your fears, I'm just saying that by the Holy Ghost, your fears will not happen. So you stand in prayer. But your fears can happen, no. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because I told you, fear is the devil seeking permission to run riot in your life. So whenever God lies that up in your spirit, get up. When you see satanic agenda revealed in prophecy, it is not God saying, I want to kill everybody traveling. Maybe you see an accident along a certain road. God is not saying everybody there is going to die. No. He's saying, I don't want it to happen. So you either pray, your prayer will either avert it or exempt you from it totally. And that will be your result this year. I believe in divine exemptions. And I'm enjoying it this year. So, you notice, Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, he didn't say, I want Herod to see. He said, Herod will. It will happen. So, it's not every time a man of God gives you a word that is not sweet that he says, all these false prophets. No. Not every prophecy will be sweet. Some of them are coming to reveal the consequence of your action or what the devil has planned. You stand up and pray. Stand up and pray. In Acts 11, for instance, and verse 28, Prophet Agabus stood up and signified by the Spirit that there will be a famine. That there will be a famine. I get the point. Look at that. King James said there should be a great death. That's a famine. He saw it in the Spirit. Now, that didn't make him a false prophet. But if you read the rest of this story, the apostles saw, the believers saw that we can't avert this. Because this is not God bringing famine now. But maybe there have been decisions that have been made by the government. Just like Nigeria now is going deep into depression and into the whole. I get the point. That is not God bringing it. But there have been decisions that our leaders and all of that have made that's going to bring about this happening. So when a prophet now stands up and says, I see by the Spirit, that's going to be a famine. That's not a prophet of doom. You know what the church did here? They began to contribute food. They began to contribute money. They began to contribute food. And they were sending, because by the prophets they had seen that this thing will affect people in Judea more. So they sent relief materials to them ahead of the famine. That's the wisdom of God right there. That's how to receive. I know what I'm talking about. Just like Joseph received through Pharaoh's dream that there will be a famine in the world. He said, let us begin to save. So not every negative prophecy is prophet of doom, whatever. They come so that you can attack them. That you either avert them or you exempt yourself from them. The prophecy of Joseph to Egypt about the famine could not be averted, but they were exempted from it. Such that the whole world began to come to them to buy from them. So when you see in the spirit a satanic plan hovering over your life, that's not the time to be afraid. That's time to stand up in prayer. Because God reveals so that he can save. God reveals so that he can save. God reveals so that he can save. If I was one of those prophets who stand up every year and speak forth 30 things the Lord said concerning this year. I see the king of this village dying. I see the prince of the other one drowning inside water. If I was looking on prophets, I would tell the church that my aim is to make sure that all of them will fail. All the negative ones. That should be your aim. It's not something you brag about. I saw it. Tell the guys he will die. You see, he has died. That's not something to do. It's something to cry about. Because God doesn't just reveal for revealing's sake. Those things are the agenda of hell and not the plan of God being revealed. So you stand in prayer and you have at it. Example is Isaiah 38 that was started with. The Lord said unto Isaiah to say to Hezekiah that he shall die. What did Isaiah do? What did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah turned his face to the Lord in prayer and prayed so much that the Lord told Isaiah to come and tell him he will no longer die. He turned his face toward the wall and began to pray. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Were you blessed? Woo, hallelujah. What God has said to you, that is his will, you will walk into it. And whatever that is the agenda of hell over your life will be averted. And if it cannot be averted, you'll be exempted from it. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's the will of God. But there is a sister here. This is very strange as I'm seeing it now. You've been having some inclinations in your heart and all that. So that you even see it, your imagination, where you were involved in a rape case, where you were raped. Now, God is not bringing those things so that you will become afraid. Two things God said I should say to you. Number one, he said that you should rise against that stuff in prayer. He said, but number two, take note of the instructions he's bringing to your spirit about your relationships and people you talk to and places you go to. I don't know who has that word, but take it very seriously. Because God reveals so that he can save. So that your story will not always be, Daddy, I saw it in the dream, and it happened as I said it. If it's a bad thing, please stop celebrating that. The next time you see yourself get involved in an accident in your dream, get up knowing that it will not happen. Because you will face it until you switch that thing around. I get what I'm saying? Yes. The first time you see it, in fact, when you wake up, it's good to say thank God. You know why you should say thank God? Because God showed you this as a proof of his commitment to you that he doesn't want it to happen. I get the point. Yeah. Last year I was ministering here. Towards the end of last year, remember? There was a day I was ministering. And I spoke about a lady that was having fears of her exams and all of that. Remember that? And she came out and I prayed for her that day. Before the exam is out, she did excellently well. Hallelujah. But she said before then, she has been seen. She was already depressed. Why? Every night she goes to sleep, she will be seeing different dreams where she failed the exam. And the devil used that to depress her. She lost confidence and everything. Now, that wasn't God saying, I want you to fail. This is a very smart lady, very intelligent lady, actually. And, you know, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Prior to that, I had already given her a prophecy of what her results will look like when she graduates. Yeah. Like last 2 years, when I began talking, I said, look at what God's doing, my bio results. So those things were just coming to deter. So when those dreams were coming, it's not God saying, I want you to fail. It was the agenda of her. She wasn't just addressing it well in prayer. That's why God had to bring it to my notice so that I can deal with it that day. But next time you see such things, stand in prayer and avert it. That's the same thing you do. A man of God comes to you for whatever reason and curses you. You shall not prosper. Don't fight the man. Don't fight the man. No. What is your hand again in the spirit? Your tongue. So your tongue will either receive it or throw it away. I get the point. And don't ignore. Don't say, oh, if like we say, oh, me and now, your mind say, just be talking. It's when I buy my first Benz, you will see. Okay, you will not buy Benz. Oh. Take it up. Get to the place of prayer. Begin to turn those things. Hallelujah. Blessed be Lord who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He takes them. I begin to war in prayer until those things are turned around. I speak over you this year. it is God's will or nothing. In your life, you experience this year the counsel of God or nothing. The will of God fulfilled in your life or nothing. In the name of Jesus, everything that the Lord has said concerning you, that is found in His will for your life, you will see them come to pass. You will enjoy the fulfillment of those words. In the name of Jesus, you will end this year with testimonies of numerous fulfilled prophecies. I say it again, you will end this year with prophets of numerous fulfilled prophecies. The prophecy over your health, God will bring it to pass. That one over your finance, God will bring it to pass. That one over your marriage, God will bring it to pass. The prophecy over your family, God will bring it to pass. You will walk into the fulfillment of those words. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord has blessed you. The Lord has blessed you. You do receive those words? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are blessed.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.